Thank you, Jeff. Our second speaker is from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Carl Ayen.
I'm an addict named Carla. First, I'd like to give thanks to God for allowing me to be here, for waking me up this morning with a strong desire to want to be clean and to want to be in recovery. I'd like to thank the Chesapeake Potomac Regional Convention of Narcotics Anonymous for asking me to come share my experience, my strength, and my hopes. And I'd like to thank the gentleman before me for sharing with the group, the lie is dead. You know, I'm feeling a little bit nervous, and you know, one of the things that I had been thinking about when he was sharing, because I was sitting over there and I was getting really filled up with listening to him, because when I got here, I am so grateful that I didn't make a list of the things that I wanted when I got here. I was so grateful. You know, when I got here, all I wanted to do was stop hurting, stop feeling, stop using, and stop chasing cars like a German Shepherd. You know, and people laugh when I say that, but I say that because, you know, every day that I came to, because I didn't wake up, I passed out, I came to, you know, and every moment of every day was about me getting a thing to make me not feel what I was feeling on that particular day. You know, and there was never a moment where I kind of was enjoying. Because even when I was drinking as a little girl, I wasn't enjoying it. That was something that I had seen people do. I tried it. It took me outside of myself, and it kind of felt good, not in a good way, but in a kind of way where you could escape from being who I didn't like, the bald-head, skinny, big-lipped girl that I was. And that was kind of a vice for me not to feel, and not that feeling of not liking myself. So I did that for a while, you know, and me and my mom, we used together. Let me get that out the way. You know, because my mom is my hero. And me and my mom, we used together, and everything that she taught me about life when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I found out that all that wasn't real. And I don't know about nobody else, but if it's somebody that you're looking up to, and everything that they taught you about life, and then you come here and people tell you that that stuff ain't real, it was kind of like a gut shot. So we're talking about the lie is dead, we do recover. And when I got here, you know, people told me that I had to forget everything that I thought I knew about life. You know, and we're talking about what are we recovering from, like, I came here, I didn't know much about, you know, being a woman. I didn't know much about having a job. I didn't know much about, you know, being a wife. I didn't know much about being a lady. You know, I didn't know much about a lot of nothing. Only thing I knew when I got here was how to get one, what they had taught me in the street. You know, and I kind of ran off of that, and I'm 55 years old. I'm getting ready to celebrate 21 years clean. So everything that I thought I knew about life had to be up for revision. You know, and just to slow down a little bit, you know, when they talk about the lie is dead, everything that I thought I knew about life was a lie. You know, I came here. You know, I let some women come into my life. You know, I let some women come into my life and teach me how to become a woman. You know, with 2 years clean, you know, my mom had a stroke, and they told me that, my family told me that I had to take care of my mom. You know, and that was the person that I had the biggest resentment with. You know, and when, she came, you know, into my life, I didn't have a whole lot of coping skills. I didn't have a whole lot. I hadn't worked on a job, you know. I didn't know a whole lot about nothing. And then I get this person in my life that I had to be responsible for. Now, I don't have any children. So I didn't know nothing about taking care of other people. I hadn't even learned how to take care of myself yet. You know, and my mom came into my life, and every day that I had to look at her, I was angry. Every day that I had to look at my mom, I was angry because I was feeling like, you know, do you know how it is when you use with your using partner? And all the stuff that comes with using with somebody and means and ways to get more and, you know, the putting me out when I didn't have anything and, you know, all that kind of stuff that come with the game. And now I had to be responsible for a human being. You know, and when I prayed this morning, you know, I prayed that God let me, you know, talk about what I need to talk about and not feel the guilt of, because sometimes even with 20 years clean, I feel like there's some things that I shouldn't talk about pertaining to my relationship with my mom. You know, and because we're now today, we're best friends, and she trusts me with everything, but it was a process to get into that. You know, and I would come to the meetings, and I would talk, and I don't know why, you know, God gave me this task so early in my recovery. Some days I feel like he was safeguarding me from the things I would have possibly been doing. You know, like a lot of stuff I couldn't do when I first got here because I was responsible for a human being. So it stopped me from, you know, sleeping with everybody and doing all the stuff that I probably would have been doing. You know, I did some stuff, but it kind of safeguarded me from doing a whole lot of stuff that I probably would have been doing if I hadn't have been responsible for another human being. So they say crisis could be a gift. They say crisis could be a gift because I don't always understand what the Creator is doing in my life when he's doing it for me. Because I think he's doing it against me, but he's actually doing it for me. But until you start doing the work to be able to see that, you'll be working out a thing of anger and fear and resentment. You know, because, you know, I was kind of angry when I got here about where my life was. You know, because I'm thinking, you know, you come here, you just, because I heard him say 3 years clean, he got all this stuff, and it didn't happen for me like that, see, because I'm one of those people that if I don't work hard to get it, I don't appreciate it. And you know what, God knew that about me, so he would make me work for stuff, and I would be looking at people like, how they get it so easy, and how come they ain't got to work to get it, and how come they can get a man to just take care of them, and God said to me, that don't work for you. Because look, you had that before. Look, you had a husband that took care of you. You had a husband that paid your car note and your car insurance and all you did what you wanted to do with your money and you didn't appreciate that. So this is what I'm going to do for you, little girl. This is, I'm going to give you the hard road because you're going to appreciate what I do for you. So he put my mom in my life. Now, this is the person that I used with, you know, major resentment. Major resentment. This is the person that if I didn't have anything, she would put me in the street. This is the person, like, when my boyfriends would come over, they'd end up in my mom's room with the door locked. So, when I got clean, you know, you think you're getting clean for you. You know, you think, oh, I done ran the street, I done did what I wanted to do, now this is my time. I make all the conventions, I be sashaying all around, and he said, oh, no, we're not doing that for you. This is what I want you to do, little girl. So he thrust my mom into my life. It was one of them, boom, 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 boom. Like, push through all of that kind of stuff. And when my mom came into my life, like I said, I was angry. And you know, and I'm just reflecting back from where I was at to where I'm at now. So when mom came into my life, and, you know, I work in the nursing field. So, you know, I'm going to work, happy, smiling, and taking care of everybody. And then I come home and look at her all crazy. And my mom had a stroke, so she can't talk. So she couldn't talk to me when I come in acting all stupid and looking all crazy. One particular day I come in and she say, sit down on the bed. So I sit down on the bed and, you know, she's crying and I'm crying. And she just hugs me, you know, and that intuitiveness that they talk about. that intuitiveness that they talk about. I just felt in my gut at that particular time that my mom was saying, I'm sorry and I love you. See, the Creator, she didn't say the words, but God will give you what He needs to give you to help you get through so you can do what He wants you to do. See, I can't do what God wants me to do when I'm all cluttered up about me. Look, I was under the impression that my recovery was going to be for me and about me. But when you ain't practicing honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, those three indispensable principles that they say, with these we are well on our way. See, if I'm not practicing them, I can't get past none of the stuff that God has for me. I'm not even open for it. Not even open for it. So when she did that, it was an intuitiveness. You know, that I knew at that particular moment that my mom was saying, I love you, I appreciate you, and it's going to be okay. So I came into meeting, and I started talking about my relationship with my mom. See, if people say, well, 20 years clean, why do you always talk about that? Because that's my thing. See, I don't know what other people came here for. I don't know what your reason is for staying clean. But what I do know is that I have an assignment. I have an assignment. It ain't about being a good wife, a good woman. It's about being the best daughter that I could be to a woman that I thought that I would never have in my life again. Look, I didn't want nothing to do with her. That feeling when you ain't got no more and the person that tell you get out, that thing haunted me when I got here. And God said, if you feel it, save your life. If you feel it, call it, save your life, because this thing ain't even about you. It ain't about you. Look, I didn't scrape you up to you, you selfish little thing, you. I didn't scrape you up for you. So I had to get past all of that. See, that's when recovery starts to work. When you do the thing that you really, really don't want to do. When you do the thing you really don't want to do. So the journey begins. And I start treating my mom better. Look, it was some reward to that. I didn't know it was going to be reward to treating my mom better. I just knew that I came here, I didn't come here for me, and I was going to do the best that I could do with the work I was doing. See, you can only do what you can do based on the work that you're doing. See, you do no steps, you get no reward. Stepless people do stepless things. Stepless people do stepless things. And I can only compare myself to myself. Because when I wasn't doing work, wasn't nothing affecting me. So I thought. Until, you know, people start walking up to you and saying, you alright? Because you start looking like you smoking. Without the privilege of having a match. And I've been there. You know, when you're trying to buck the system and you're in a thing that they call a spiritual warfare. See, you can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can bow out gracefully or you can be dragged. And I've been emotionally dragged. Look, I can relate to people. You know, sometimes, like, I be in my feelings, and me and my significant other was talking today, because some days I can handle stuff, and I can be on point with it. And some days when I'm not turning it over, the story be a whole different way. Let me be in my will all day. I be looking at people all crazy. Taking the focus off of myself. And it's something about, you know, being able to get in a place, get on your knees and pray, and start the day over. That's what people say, Cole, you know you ain't got to stay here. I mean, you ain't got to stop. Take another look. Get a different perspective. My babe tell me all the time, he said, babe, you think it ain't your friend? You know, and I can take that in a positive way when I'm prayed up, but let me not pray. I'll be like, nigga, what you? My thinking ain't my friend. You know. But because I want peace, that's a terrible thing to be in a program that offers you a peace of mind. And you still want to be in bondage. I don't want to be bound up. I don't want to look like I'm chasing crack. Clean. You know what the lies did? I'm so grateful that I didn't make a list of the things that I wanted when I got here. Because I know without a doubt, shadow of a doubt, that I would have been shortchanging myself because he has blessed me with so much more. He has blessed me with so much. I've always been able to get a car. And look, you know, when I first got clean, they used to call me Tags. Because everything I had to have a name on it. And then there's something that happens when you do step work. They call it the onion effect. You start peeling that stuff up. It don't matter if I got to come to the meeting with my hair not done. Other people don't understand that, but I understand. I understand not having to come to meeting dressed from head to toe. Every curl got to be in place. Lip gloss got to be popping. I understand that because even with all that, the pain be great. The pain be great. I remember my sponsor used to tell me, Carly, you got to do an onion effect. You got to peel that thing off. Get to the core of that thing that's been plaguing you all your life. I'm talking about getting clean on the inside. And I understand, newcomer, I love you. If you're here, you're safe. I want you to keep coming back. You might not understand anything that I'm saying. You might need to get the Mr. T kit. Whatever it takes for you to stay here. Because I remember it being an outside job before it was an inside job. I understand. But where I'm at, that thing don't work for me. You be a raggedy, dressed up garbage can. And I look, I want to shine from the inside out. Look, if people don't say nothing about me when I leave, because you know, one thing Narcotics Anonymous does, it changes our obituaries. Yeah, it changes some obituaries around here. They be like, remember that girl I used to talk about, she was chasing cars like a German Shepherd? When I go to work, they don't see that. When I go to work, they don't see that. You couldn't even tell the people on my job that I've ever smoked crack. Because we do recover. Like, we do recover. Look, people that couldn't read and going to school getting PhDs. Look, who was this changing into housewives? People getting their kids back. And being good mothers and fathers. I got little people running around calling me mama. I don't know if that means anything to anybody else, but nobody would trust me with their kids. Nobody would trust me with their kids. People wouldn't even trust me with $2 to go cop. And then I got people trusting me with their kids like 100 miles away. Not even calling to check on their kids. They know if I got their kids, they in good hands. Not even other people getting back to Barbara G. Check this out. When my mom came into my life, I was working full time, but because she was so sick, I couldn't really work full time. And I used to pray. Dorothea, no, she helped me find a place. Check this out. We was looking for a one-bedroom apartment for me when I got clean. We rise down the street. The man got a house. He fixing it up. And I said, I don't need all this. It's 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms. I said, I don't need all that. And the man, the price was so real. I go, I'll take it. not knowing that the Creator was setting me up. I think like 6 months after that, my mom had the stroke and I needed to get her. See, I'm thinking always about me, and he's saying it ain't about you. I'm setting you up for something. You gotta be able to look at the bigger picture. So when she came, I was working full time, but because she was so sick, I couldn't really, you know, focus full time and be the best that I needed to be to her. So I had to go down to what they call PRN. That means you call, check in, see if they got hours, and then your money will be kind of funny because it don't always be consistent. But I said, okay, I'm going to trust God on this one. Okay, God, you said it's my assignment. I'm going to trust you. So I'm, you know, in worry mode. And they say worry and faith can't stay in the same house, so you got to surrender something. So I'm praying and I'm talking to meetings. People in Lakers said, no, I was talking. And me, talking. So one day I come home and my mom writes these numbers down on a piece of paper. Now she can't talk. I don't know what the numbers are. I'm like, because you know we play a charades every day. Now, what the hell is she trying to say now? Lord have mercy. So she writes these numbers on a piece of paper. I didn't know what the numbers were. She's trying to explain to me, but he know. She's got all ways of showing that. She went to pick feet the other day. She did something like this. I was like, what the hell is that? That's pick feet. So she writes these numbers down on a piece of paper. I don't know what the numbers are. I'm like, okay. So one day, me and her riding down the street, and she sees a Citizens Bank. She put mommy, because she calls me mommy. Because from her stroke, she can't talk. So the whole time we was in rehab, I was calling her mommy, and she started calling me mommy. Okay, mommy. Matter of fact, I didn't even know I was mommy until one day we was in the store, and I heard somebody say, mommy, mommy. I'm like, who are you talking to me? So we ride for the Citizens Bank. She pulls out the paper again and says, I said, numbers, paper. We're going to bank. And I give them the numbers, and they pull up this account. And I look at the number, I said, shit, we're about to be all right. Like, she came, but she came with some stuff. But I wasn't thinking about none of that. All I knew is that, you know, that I needed to grow up right now. It wasn't me coming in recovery and get to play around like everybody else. I had to get in grown woman mode right now. They talk about a little girl, but my stuff had to be instantaneous. You know, so she came with some stuff, Anna Marie. And, you know, Anna Marie and my mom used to work together. So they real good friends, and my mom, you know, she started crying, like, you know, telling me, we gonna be alright. Like, this is for you, to do what you need to do. And I was like, in the moment, I was thinking, like, this woman really trusts me with this. Like, the woman that used to put me out is gonna trust me, and my mom trusts me with her life. Like, right now, we going to chemo for my mom. So, she went in chemo with ovarian cancer. And she started the chemo. And, you know, every time the doctor would say something to her, she would look at me. You know what I mean? Like, she wouldn't even say nothing. He asked her, she said, Mommy, is it okay? Trust me with a whole life. I don't know if anybody understands. Look, I don't have no kids, so I never understood what that felt like. My mom trusted me with her whole life and everything. I talk about when she went to chemo. She was in remission for like 4 or 5 months. The chemo came back. The doctors were saying they wanted to put a tube in her bag. You know, it was done. She only had 6 months to a year. And he asked my mom what she wanted to do. And then she said, "Mommy, okay." And I was like, "No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. We're going to do the chemo again. We ain't doing no tubes. We're going to trust God." She looked at the doctor and said, "Carla, okay." Like, whatever she says is what we're going to do. You know, and I'm thinking, she really trusts me with her everything. Everything. So look, if I had made a list, that would have never been on it. Look, I'm so superficial. It would have been a car, a house, Edward. You know. But he said, "I need you to think outside the box. I had something so much bigger for you." Look, I was married for 9 years. And just was a spoiled little brat in my marriage. I had nobody teaching me how to be a wife. I wasn't even asking. And to put icing on the cake, I was in menopause. Wasn't no women coming into me and talking about menopause. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. I didn't know what was wrong with me. And I would, you know, I'd be happy 1 minute, then I'd be looking at the nigga like the exorcist the next minute. And he didn't know what was going on. He was like, "This boy is cuckoo for cocoa puff." And I was. And you know, I could have a resentment about my marriage, but I don't. I don't. What I learned is that I don't want to be that chick. And whatever it takes for me to be who I need to be in my new relationship, I'm going to humble myself. And sometimes in being humble, I feel like a punk. Let me just say that. I feel like a punk. But it takes a level of humility to be submissive. Take a level of humility to trust in my partner even when I can't see the outcome. Even when I can't see what he sees. I trust God. Because even if that vision don't work, I know that if it's gone, if it's over, that God still will take care of me. Road to recovery. The journey continues. Like, the growing up process just don't stop because things don't work out. Look, I know he got a plan for me. And sometimes I got to go over those hurdles and those stumbling blocks that don't feel good to get to where the Creator is trying to take me. And sometimes it's a lonely road. I'm telling you, sometimes I be like, you ever see Martin Shanae name was here? Well, I want to say something, I run in the bathroom, I'm out of here. Because I know that there's power in the tongue and in my words. I can even make or break my significant other just by what I speak out of my mouth. Just by what I speak out of my mouth. You know, and like I said, I'm an old head. And it's a lot of walls that gotta be tore down. Like, this thing don't happen overnight, it happened over time. But I gotta tell myself my own truth about who I am. And I gotta be honest about who I'm bringing to the relationship. Some days I'm on point, some days I'm broken. But one thing I appreciate about being broken is that there's still room for improvement. See? When you admit, look, me and Dorothea was talking yesterday, the other day, and I was like, when I don't do the right thing, that thing don't resonate right in my spirit. It ain't even got to be other people telling me. I feel it immediately. And because I want to be a different person, a better person, I address stuff right away. That touch that. I be on that thing. Because I know that it's the one thing that I try to sweep under the rug that will have me chasing cars like a German shepherd once again. So you ain't even got to give me 5 minutes. Because I'm good. I don't know if anybody got anything, but I feel good. I gave myself an early morning hit. Look, I want to say this. I love Narcotics Anonymous with everything in me. I'm telling you, if it hadn't been for this program, I know. I hear people say, I don't know where they've been. I know where I've been. Look, I'm not one of them people that had to think twice about the question. Because normal people don't drink herbs and eat no Debbie cake when they just had $900-something in their pocket. Normal people don't do that. They eat first. I ended up eating smoke sandwiches. And I never want to live like that again. And because I'm in this program, I don't have to. The lie is dead. We do recover. Thanks for letting me share.